It's officially DC festival season, and we're super excited about this one coming up on May 18th. Africa on the Avenue is a celebration of the vibrant African immigrant community along Georgia Avenue Northwest. There's going to be interactive art installations, fashion shows, music, food, and local business stands. This one-day festival, organized by District Bridges' Lower Georgia Avenue Main Street program, truly has something for everyone. So I'll see you there on May 18th. Go to districtbridges.org to learn more. Today on CityCast DC, you might have noticed that gas leaks have been in the news more often, and it's pretty scary. When you suspect there's a gas leak happening, it might not always be clear what you should do. So today on CityCast DC, we're talking with environmental reporter Kayla Benjamin to get the lay of the land on what's happening. Today's Monday, April 15th. I'm Bridget Todd, and here's what DC is talking about. So I understand there have been some pretty big gas leaks in the city recently, which is kind of terrifying. Can you walk me through them and what exactly happened?
Yes. So the most recent one that DC residents are probably familiar with is the gas explosion in Southeast. That was a terrifying incident, explosion. I was there and it was like an enormous effort.
You were there?
Not when it, like right after it exploded.
Okay.
Like I went, yeah. But what happened there, actually, it wasn't Washington Gas's fault necessarily. They think someone crashed into the gas meter and caused it to leak, which is what caused the explosion.
I mean, even that's pretty scary, right?
Yeah. There hasn't been a lot of details out yet about who caused the crash or whether there even was a crash, what kind of car is like hitting a gas meter. Like, I don't really understand how that happened. I don't think they have explained it. You know, the cops have not explained it yet.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, I don't know the details, but I can imagine this intersects with another big story that we talk about a lot, which is motorists and driving safety and things like that. Like, somebody causing this kind of gas explosion is pretty scary. One of the things I understand is there was a story of a woman who had to call Washington Gas like 5 different times in Virginia to get them to respond.
Yes. So she lives in Vienna and she got, you know, on the news. She had the headline. She had smelled gas in and around her home and had needed to call 5 times before someone came out and fixed it. And her story was picked up by the news, but I don't think that is an isolated incident. I have heard from other people, especially if they're smelling gas outside in their neighborhood, that it takes a lot of persistence sometimes to get anyone to come out and take a look.
Yeah, it could be so many things. It doesn't sound good. And I wonder, like, let's say that I'm walking around and I smell gas in my apartment or my house or my neighborhood. What should I do?
Get out of your house. If you smell gas inside, it's usually a good idea to leave and to call Washington Gas.
I actually have firsthand experience doing this. A couple of years ago, I smelled gas in my apartment and I called Washington Gas and they came out, and I'll never forget, the guy said, "You probably saved everybody in your building's life." Let me tell you that I ate out on that statement for weeks of being smug, like, enjoying being alive, you're welcome, neighbor. But he really did drive home that it's not the kind of thing that you want to play with. And like, you know when you smell gas and something isn't right. And so if you suspect something is going on, be the neighbor who calls, be the person who calls. Don't feel silly about, you know, reporting something and you're not sure or whatever. I think so often we can talk ourselves out of reporting something that we know isn't meant to be there, or a smell that we know isn't right.
Yes. So the actual gas that like is used to burn in our homes by itself doesn't smell like anything. And so that smell that we get is added later specifically for that reason. So that leaks can be identified early because, you know, if they get bad enough, you get explosions.
So we're talking a lot about Washington Gas in this conversation. Who exactly is Washington Gas?
Yes. So Washington Gas is the utility company that has a monopoly on providing what they call natural gas to homes that use it for cooking, heating, water heaters, are the most common uses. Not just homes, also commercial buildings. There are like about 1 million customers, or maybe a little bit more than that, across DC and then parts of Maryland and Virginia, like around DC.
So you said they're a monopoly. They're basically the only game in town. Like, if you have gas, you're getting it from Washington Gas.
Exactly.
So what's their reputation like? Like, are they good stewards of our gas needs in the city?
It's a great question. Obviously, depends a little bit on who you ask. So because our utilities are monopolies, they are regulated by this little-known agency. It's called Public Service Commission. It's 3 people. They're appointed by the mayor. And their job is to basically keep in check the water, electricity, gas utilities that otherwise consumers really don't have much recourse to do anything about. So when you're asking about reputation, I bring up the Public Service Commission because recently there has been a lot of pretty contentious fights in front of the Public Service Commission, essentially alleging that Washington Gas is mismanaging its efforts to maintain and replace pipes across the city, that they are not doing a good job addressing leaks or detecting leaks, and that basically they're not spending their money very well either.
Everybody knows that getting that perfect Mother's Day gift is basically impossible, but we promise Mom will love this one. The Capitol Hill Restoration Society House and Garden Tour is back this Mother's Day weekend on May 11th and May 12th. Tour 9 elaborate homes and gardens and 3 historic buildings on Capitol Hill that you can't normally enter. And if you can't make it, check out the Capitol Hill Restoration Society's other events like walking tours and monthly preservation cafes. You can buy tickets for the Mother's Day House and Garden Tour on Eventbrite, and be sure to follow CHRS on Facebook and Instagram at Capitol Hill Restoration DC. So I know that this project called Project Pipes is all about replacing these pipes. What exactly is it, and why should folks care about it?
Sure. So there's a couple reasons people should care about it. I'll start with what maybe Washington Gas would say, which is that DC, like a lot of cities, has very old infrastructure. So some of these pipes are probably more than 100 years old, potentially. And that means that sooner or later, things leak or break. Washington Gas basically said in 2014, which is when this Project Pipes started, that they wanted to do a total modernization of all the pipes in DC. They wanted to replace pretty much everything.
All the pipes.
All the pipes. Whether or not they're leaking at the moment. And that's reason number one, is that the point of it is like, hey, we have this old system, we need to fix it. And people should care about that because gas leaks are dangerous. But secondly, it's very expensive. And that means raising rates.
So I'm curious, why are they replacing all the pipes, even the ones that aren't leaking?
Again, depends on who you ask. I think Washington Gas would probably say that it's because they believe the only way to achieve safety, or the best safety, is to replace everything. Most watchers of the Project Pipes effort, which maybe started with climate activists, but has now kind of expanded to be both the Office of the People's Council and the Office of the Attorney General, have started to feel like maybe they want to replace everything because that keeps them in business and allows them to basically recover their losses more quickly. It's complicated, but basically by having this special program, they have set up a system where they can get paid for what they invest more quickly than they maybe otherwise would if they were just doing regular maintenance. And, you know, the city is trying to move off of gas in order to meet all these big, ambitious climate goals. You can't continue to burn fossil fuels in everybody's homes and businesses. So Washington Gas knows that. And I think it seems pretty likely, at least, that they thought, well, if the city invests several $100 million in this 40-year project, they're not going to just stop using this gas infrastructure.
That makes so much sense. And, you know, you keep saying, like, depends on who you ask, depends on who you ask. Who is opposed to this project? I know there's been some controversy around it. Who is opposed to Project Pipes and why?
That is the best question to me, because at this point, it kind of feels like everybody is opposed. The Office of the People's Council, which represents people's DC residents' interests in utility cases, they're opposed. The district government, as represented by the Attorney General, they seem to be opposed, if not to the whole project, then at least to continuing the project without further investigation, which is the OPC's position as well. And recently, 10 of the 13 DC council members wrote a letter to the Public Service Commission saying, we want you to stop approving more Project Pipes money. We think this needs basically further study and that it does not align with the city's climate goals. So that's like three different parts of DC government all telling the Public Service Commission, whoa, hold on. And yet, the DC Public Service Commission decided to allow Project Pipes to go ahead for another year by extending phase two, which is where we're at right now, giving them, I think, $50 million or allowing them to collect that in surcharges.
Why? Like, given what you've just said, why are they approving more cash for this project?
The main reason they cite is safety. Two of the three public service commissioners, it was not a unanimous vote, seem to feel that pausing Project Pipes or just stopping it entirely would make the system less safe, and decided to move forward.
Do you have a sense of if there is any merit to that claim? Like, is it going to make things less safe? Like, have there been more gas leaks since Project Pipe started?
Well, therein lies the rub, because at least according to OPC and sort of the investigations they've been able to do, it actually seems like there are more leaks now and that it's costing more per mile to replace pipes than there were when pipes, leaky pipes were being replaced, just because that's the company's job. They have to maintain the system. That's part of their mandate. So the argument starts to fall apart. Washington Gas will argue the numbers, but OPC says that there are more grade 2 and grade 1 leaks, which are the most serious ones, happening now, and that they're taking longer to fix than they were before the project started.
So what do you see as the future of this project? Like, do you think we'll see an investigation?
I do. I think we're going to see an investigation. I spoke with someone at OPC recently. So the Office of the People's Council has requested an investigation into Project Pipes three different times.
Just like that lady who called to report her gas leak three different times.
Yes, exactly so. And every time the Public Service Commission, well, the first two times, the PSC said, no, I don't think we need that. We're going to do something else to hold Washington Gas accountable. And a little bit unclear what that something else is. But essentially, an investigation would allow, like a real deep one, would allow OPC and other parts of the district government to really look at, like, how many leaks are there? Where are they? What options do we have to detect them better, more efficiently? And evaluate the finances and the management systems going on inside Washington Gas and in Project Pipe specifically. Additionally, it would allow us to look at, like, how severe are these leaks and how much are they hurting the climate? Because when methane leaks, it's really, really potent, more potent than carbon even, or carbon dioxide. And right now, it can be a little bit tricky to get that information. Washington Gas does not publish anything about where leaks are.
Seems like they should.
Right. Some of the information being shared is classified as, like, a national security risk a little bit. Like, if people know where all the gas lines are, you know, can target DC's gas system in some way, it's been sort of viewed as a national security thing. I'm not really qualified to judge the merits of that argument, but I think it's been true for a really long time. The Public Service Commission just extended phase two for another year, but I suspect that they will, now that they've been called on for a third time, to do a real deep investigation, that they'll allow that to go forward before making a decision on phase three, which is naturally what's supposed to happen next. And I think it's supposed to be the last phase of the project, which again is supposed to be to span like 40 years.
When you think about this project, how much is it all going to cost?
It's really unclear how much it will cost over 40 years, which I think is crazy. Like, how can we sign up for something and we have no idea how much it would cost in the end? But it's at least several hundred million. And activists have kind of cited these higher numbers where they think it's going to cost up to like $4 billion.
And where would that money come from?
Ratepayers, mostly. There's some federal money for some types of work, but usually that's more focused on either protecting against leaks, moving away from gas. It's not, these grants or loans or federal programs aren't going to help Washington Gas do what it's really supposed to do, which is maintain its own system.
So you mentioned that DC wants to be more green and that that's hard to accomplish when you're pumping gas into every resident's home. What's the climate impact of all this?
Yeah, so that I think is really where some of the focus on this program started. It was climate activists who started sounding the alarm, like, why are we investing hundreds of millions, potentially billions of dollars into a system that the city has already decided is not compatible with our goals in terms of stopping contributing to the climate crisis? And the climate impact is huge when gas leaks, and the climate impact isn't great when we burn gas either. Unlike switching to electricity, where you can get it renewably, like burning fossil fuels is always going to be burning fossil fuels. And it's also not very good for people's health. Burning gas indoors has a very clear link at this point to making kids more likely to have asthma, causing respiratory issues when people who are already at risk. And generally, it doesn't make sense if DC is serious about moving toward a sustainable future, both for like people's health in the short term and for the planet's ability to host human beings on it in the long term. Like, it's just doesn't make sense.
Does DC have any serious legislation in terms of changing this at all?
So it has legislation focused on moving away from building new buildings with gas. So as of March of last year, DC's Greener Government Buildings Law went into effect. And that says that DC is not allowed to build any more city-owned buildings that are set up to use fossil fuels. That's controversial too, because DC is currently planning to start a build in 2025 that will use fossil fuels, and that's the DC Archives building.
Well, how does that square with the legislation?
Great question. The Department of General Services, who's in charge of the project, says that they're not sure exactly how it squares with the legislation, and that basically argues that, like, you know, this design was made before the law, etc. If the Department of Buildings gives them a permit for a gas-powered building in the Archives building, I'm guessing there'll be a fight from private citizens or organizations over that law. So that might seem like a slightly separate issue from the Project Pipes thing, but it's showing the same kind of internal struggle. Within the district government, there are big, ambitious climate goals, and then there are different parts of the DC government that are just not quite on board. And you get these really interesting fights inside the DC government when push comes to shove of like, okay, well, now we actually have to implement this. Starting in 2026, there should be no new buildings built in the district with gas.
Well, Kayla, thank you so much for being here. It's complicated stuff, and I'm glad that you're here to explain it to me because I felt like I didn't get it before.
Yeah, thank you.
That's all for today here on CityCast DC. If you enjoyed the show, why not tell a friend, rate the show, leave us a review, and subscribe to our morning newsletter. We'll be back tomorrow morning with even more news from around the city. Talk to you then.